thank you ever so much for that prayer, because really prayer has got to be the most needy thing whenever we go out or whenever we do anything. And it is the wind beneath our wings, so to speak, to quote the song, and the wind in our sails if we sing Jesus is be the centre. And this is about tonight, about being called. And it's about Paul, but more importantly, it's about every one of us here being called. And this story is a great adventure for Paul. It's what is called his second missionary journey. And they're at a place called Troas. This is in, they're in present day Greece and Turkey at this point. They're going from one to the other. His companions, so definitely Silas was there, and probably Timothy, and maybe Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. And Paul has this vision of a man from Macedonia who's begging him to come there. And Paul interprets this vision as an invitation to go and preach the gospel. And almost without delay, they sail out to Troas, to this place which I can only pronounce as Samarasi. I did check that on YouTube, though. And then on to Neapolis, and then to Philippi. Well, that's the geography all around it. He's called, he goes. And the question is, do we do that? When we're called, do we go? And the answer is, yes. We are called. And God has created each of us just as we are. We're all different. And he's created us as we are for a purpose. Now, there may be times we don't like ourselves very much, but we are as we are. And we're part of God's divine plan, and that is to be who we are. And it's one of the secrets of life, actually. Once you're happy in your own skin, life becomes a lot easier and a lot happier. And we can all testify to our experience of being called. We haven't got time now, but I'm sure one week you could have a whole meeting just based around the instances that's happened in our lives where God has called us to do a particular thing, and it's just worked out to be amazing. And Paul has a vision, but it could equally have been a scripture or someone saying something, or perhaps two people saying something, and someone confirming the first thing. When I was sent here, I had a... Yeah, when I was sent here, I had an email, so I didn't have a vision of being at the 7 o'clock service. But it's different for everybody, and a different way that God calls us. And it's about being called, and it's our understanding of that calling. And Paul responds. And Paul and his friends meet this lady called Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She sounds like a really nice lady. And it's an amazing encounter because Lydia, who's already a believer in God, is then baptized with her family and invites Paul and his friends round to her house to stay. And as I say, that's the title tonight, called Two. So he's been there and he seems to have arrived and he meets this lady called Lydia. But putting it into the present context, now imagine one of us had a vision of going somewhere. Well, I rather like Margate. So say we had a vision of going to Margate and a few of us just set off and we went to Margate and we went down on the beach because that's where all the people are. And someone sees us there having a jolly good time eating our sandwiches and comes along and says, "What makes you people so happy and jolly?" And we say, "Well, it's all about Jesus, you see." So as soon as they hear the gospel message, they immediately ask us if we're baptized them in the sea. So we go and baptize them in the sea. You can imagine, can't you? If we were baptizing someone in the sea, a lot of other people would want to know what's going on. So you never know. There might be more people want to be baptized. This is how the gospel message seems to work, that someone picks up the baton and runs with it. And when we were sitting on the beach afterwards, I'm sure at Margate, we'd be thinking, that's amazing. God called us here, we meet that person, and we end up baptizing people and talking to people about Jesus. That was an amazing vision that person had. But you never know, do you? When you have a vision, you never know how it's going to work out. Paul didn't know how it was going to work out. He didn't know that he was going to meet Lydia. And it's the same for us. When we step out in faith, we don't know how it's going to work out. We did have another reading earlier, and Jesus tells his disciples that he wants them to know that he loves the Father and the Father loves the Son. And that's how Jesus' power worked. Jesus did many amazing miracles, but it was because God worked through him. And that's how it works for us as well. As we love God and believe in him and he loves us, we step out in faith and God's love is invincible and we take God's love with us. And barriers fall and people come to know Jesus, being spirit-filled. Now, I'm one of those people who think that other people do things a lot better than I do. And I was in a quiet day, which was very quiet, by the way, the other week, and we had some liturgy at the beginning. And these words really hit me. The words were, where we feel we have little to give, forgive our arrogance. Now, personally, you see, thinking about that, when people say they have little to give, you think they're being humble. And that really hit me between the eyes, because I often think, if I don't say it, I think someone else could do that a lot better than I could. And I didn't get it for a while, but when I got it, because on a quiet day, you have loads of quiet to think about things, so things coming in and out of your head. And that was something that I took away with me. And it struck me quite often when I'm doing parish visiting. When I knock on a door, it's usually I know who's on the other side of the door. But to be fair, I haven't got any idea what they're going to feel like on that day and what mood they're going to be in, even if they want to see me on the other side of their door. So what I do when I knock or ring ever so quickly, and then I can't run away because I have to wait till someone's answered the door. So if you're ever doing that, it's a good tip to, if you get to the door and you feel doubt in your mind, ring the bell really quickly. You can run away, but it probably won't look too good because someone might recognise you. But what's sure is that Paul went to a lot of places. And we only have a brief report of what he did at each of these places. But what's sure is that with a little help from his friends, he plants churches and makes contact. He plants seeds and spreads the love of Jesus. Now, you might say, I can do that. And you can. I believe this in my heart, that every road in High Brooms, in fact, every road everywhere, there are people who will welcome us in. You can give it a try and let me know. But I believe it's true. So if you chose any street in High Brooms and knocked on every door in that street, you'd be invited in. I bet you're thinking, I'm not going to do that, not on your life. But even, this is plan B, even if you don't do that, my guess is that every one of you here knows 50 people. Well, we can start there, can't we? We don't have to knock on someone's door. We know 50 people already. Paul didn't know anyone when he was going to these places. He may not even have known the language, but he seems to have got by all right. And Jesus always drew a crowd. But he did have his 12 disciples and their families and friends, his mum and dad and their family and friends. So even Jesus had a network of people around him. But Paul was on his journey for a few years. We've only got a little tiny section of Paul's life here. He did loads of other stuff, and his main job was tent making. So he was probably whizzing around making tents and things for, I don't know what they did in those days. Probably lived in them in those days. But he is an example to follow as a missionary or a missionary for today. Those who are part of St. Matt's, like Ephraim's in Tanzania and Pat in Lima and Life and Soul and the Morris family and the people in the hostels in Tunbridge Wells, they're all meeting and filled by people who may know Jesus, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, but they will hear about Jesus. And the whole point of being called is that we respond. I came across a book recently. Has anybody heard of Pete Gregg?
Yeah.
Cool, no one had at the 5 o'clocker. That's really good. Because now when I talk about Pete Gregg, people know what I'm talking about. Well, I think Mary put me onto it. It's called Dirty Glory, but he tells these amazing stories. Has anybody read it?
No.
Oh, right. Well, I hope you haven't got to this bit. He was telling this story about this woman in America, and she felt God was calling her to go to this town which was on the border between America and Mexico. And on the edge of the border, there was this sort of area of the town which was walled off, and it was run by one of the cartels, and it was mainly used for drug taking, prostitution, and bars and gambling and all sorts of things. Anyway, she felt called to go there. And she was a single woman. And she went there. And she didn't really know what to do. She thought, well, I can't really go in because people either think I'm touting for business or you know, someone's going to maybe jump on me. So she walked round outside the town. Just walked round and round and round. A bit like the walls of Jericho. And do you know, you have to check me out if I get this wrong. I'm going by memory. But she walked around this town for about a year, just walking around and praying for this particular little area. So I don't know how big it was, but there was a lot of buildings in there. But one day, a car stopped just as she was standing by the entrance to the town. And it was this young man in the car. And he had those sort of funny glasses on, which have got mirrors on them, so you can't really see who it is talking to you. And anyway, he said to her, what are you doing here? And she said, I'm praying for people. And then he introduced himself. He said, well, my name's Kilo. He said, they call me that because I sell drugs. And she said, well, can I pray for you, Kilo? And so she, there and then, she prayed for this chap. Anyway, that was her first breakthrough of someone that she knew that was in and around this area. And later on, she met two girls who were both prostitutes working in the area, and she spoke to them as well, and she got to know them. Where about 6 months later, she heard that Kilo had been shot dead. And one of the girls came to see her, and they said that Kilo, this drug dealer, had spoken to her about Jesus. Now that's amazing, isn't it? Because you're going to a place where seemingly there's no hope, and you feel like saying, come on, Pete, is that real? But this woman actually did that, and later on it all happened, all ended quite happily for her, actually, because they built a, like a little centre outside of the place where people could go for whatever they went for, respite or a cup of tea or something like that. And the people, those Christians, came down and built this place for her. And she ended up marrying this chap who came down and did the building, which was quite a happy ending. And they've got 3 children now. And I think she still prays for this place. And I think she'd be quite prepared to go back. She was that sort of brave person. And just the second one of Pete's stories, he was talking about this lady, and this is in Switzerland, And this lady had this vision that she should start up this prayer room in a place called Thum. I think that's how it's pronounced. Anyway, she hadn't got the money to pay for it. But she prayed about it and she managed to actually get into, they let her move into the place. And a few days later, she went to this cupboard, which she had been in quite a few times when she was in there. You've read this, haven't you, Liz? Yeah, and the cupboard was full of money. Now, you think, come on, Pete, this can't be real. But there was about 2,000 euros, I think it was. And anyway, cut a long story short, she had about 4 instances of money being found in this cupboard. And she was able to pay what she owed on the flat, keep the flat going, and also give the other money she didn't need to charity. Now, those things seem absolutely impossible when you look at it in reality. But the truth is that they happened. And people testify to these things happening. And I'd like to think that those things happen every day, even in High Brooms. And that for each of us, all we have to do, we don't have to go to America or Mexico or Switzerland or anywhere like that, because God's placed us in the place where we are. So wherever we are, that's where we're meant to be, and God can use us in that place. So I'd like to hear if you get any feedback. So if you go around knocking on any doors in High Brooms, let me know. I've been to Hornbeam Avenue, and they're very friendly down in Hornbeam Avenue. And that was my ministry, to go to Barnett's Wood. And over the years, people have prayed for me and prayed that I have fruit from the things that I do. And I'm sure people pray for you as well, for fruit for your ministry. But it wasn't until one day I realised that I was praying for the wrong thing. I was thinking about people coming into church and filling up these seats. But I was wrong, because the whole point of going out in the name of Jesus is to love people. Not to love people because they do what you want them to do, but to love people for who they are and keep on loving them. Like the lady who walked round that place in Mexico. She walked round it for a year with nothing happening. And when she did meet someone, it was the most unlikely person you could think would be a convert. But she wasn't looking. She wasn't looking to fill church seats. She was looking for people and to love them. Whoever turned up, she was prepared to love them. I wanted to finish by saying a prayer of... Has anybody heard of Richard of Chichester? Yes? Yes, well, that's good. Did you meet him? No, it's the way, it's 14th century, I think. Just testing. Anyway, the prayer goes like this, and it's a good prayer to pray. Thanks be to thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits thou hast given me, for all the pain and insults that thou hast borne for me. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that we may be inspired by people like Pete Gregg, and who's gathered these experiences that people have had, where they've met with you, Lord, and done the most amazing things, just by stepping out in faith and going to places where probably no one else would go, and yet they've gone, they haven't had any resources, and yet they've just put one foot in front of the other and stepped out in faith. So we pray for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you made us as we are, Lord, and we pray that we may accept ourselves in the way that you've made us, Lord, so we may be joyful, Lord, serving you in the place where we live. And we pray, Lord, you pour out your Holy Spirit. Fill us to overflowing, Lord, and enable us to praise you each day. In Jesus' name, amen.